Okay, so today's talk is a opening talk for this retreat. So I think it's necessary to introduce you about Satipatthana. What is Satipatthana? And Satipatthana Sutta, there are two Satipatthana Sutta, one in Majjhima Nikaya number 10, another one longer discourse in Dikha Nikaya. So there are two. And this Satipatthana Sutta is very famous in the Theravada school. Almost every school from Theravada follow Satipatthana as guidance. As Buddha said, in the very opening in this sutta, Buddha said, there is monks, one way to the purification of beings for the overcoming of sorrow and distress, for the disappearance of pain and sadness, for the gaining of the right path, for the realization of Nibbana. That is to say, the four foundations of mindfulness. So this is very promising, right? When you practice this Satipatthana, you bring to the end of all suffering, and you attain the Nibbana. And because of this promising, this something Buddha promised us, therefore, Satipatthana Sutta become very popular sutta among Theravada tradition. So if you are the meditator and you do not understand Satipatthana, then I do not know what you are practicing with. Right? So Satipatthana Sutta is highly respected and appreciated in Theravada tradition. And in Sri Lanka, especially in Sri Lanka, Thailand, people learn Satipatthana, learn by heart. They recite it daily. Not only monk, lay person also, they learn by heart, they recite it daily and even write it down. Write it down on the paper so that they can remember better. And because Satipatthana is a guide to meditation, so whatever doubt you have during your meditation practice, you can find the answer in Satipatthana Sutta. So it's something that you can ponder, realize, and find the answer. For me, in my meditation practice, I always have some doubt or questioned, and sometimes there's no teacher around me. And since I learn by heart, I can recite Satipatthana, I learn by heart Satipatthana Sutta, so sometimes when the doubt arises in my mind, and the answer was straightforward, strike my mind from Satipatthana. So this is the benefit when we learn by heart. Okay. For example, one of the important questions which I ponder about, that is craving. We all know craving is the origin of all suffering, right? Since it's the origin of all suffering, and it's also very important to know where craving arises and establishes itself. If we want to overcome craving, if you want to deal with craving effectively, then we must know where craving arises and establishes itself. So this question come to my mind along my practice, and the answer I find it in Satipatthana Sutta in Dikha Nikaya. Buddha said that wherever in the world has a pleasant and agreeable nature, it is here that craving arises and establishes itself. And where where anything that has pleasant and agreeable nature, where you can find things that has pleasant and agreeable nature. Then the Sutta gives the answer. In the six sense basis, in the contact, in your feeling, in your thinking, in your perception, in your consciousness. Therefore, this Satipatthana Sutta had become my teacher. I can find all the answer in this sutta. Okay? And also, the important Dhamma, if we come to Theravada tradition, we understand the most important Dhamma is Four Noble Truths. And Buddha teach Four Noble Truths in First Discourse. And this Four Noble Truths is also under Satipatthana Sutta. So the scope of Satipatthana Sutta is very wide and very big. All the Dhamma can place under Satipatthana Sutta. Now, let us study what is this Pali word Satipatthana. Okay? Satipatthana is compound word. Sati and upatthana or patthana. Sati upatthana. Okay. And what is sati? Sati, Westerner, they translate it as mindfulness. And mindfulness has become so popular in the West for the last 20 years. Now they study sati, mindfulness. And they use sati, mindfulness, to overcome stress, to reduce the stress, and for some sickness, for psychiatry, or mental problem. So sati is become very well known in the West. However, in the East, become less well known. So what is this sati? Mindfulness. There are many translations of sati. Because we are going to practice Satipatthana, we must understand what is sati and how to apply sati, right? So sati means bare awareness or full attention or recollection or alertness or remember and memory. Or anchoring on. So sati conveys so many meanings. So bare awareness is the common translation. Mindfulness is also common translation. But memory and remember is not common translation. Because we always say that you must be aware of what you are doing now. Then how come it become a memory? Right. So if you can fully aware or pay full attention to what you are doing now. Let's say you place your wallet or your watch or glasses on somewhere. But you do it without pay full attention. You do it without fully aware. You are putting wallet or glasses or your watch on table. So later on, can you remember where you put them, where you put it? You search the whole house, cannot find your glasses, cannot find your wallet, cannot find your watch. You cannot remember. Why? Why you cannot remember? Simply because when you put your wallet or your watch, you are so confused. The mind is restless. The mind is not fully aware of what you are doing. The mind does not pay full attention to what you are doing. Therefore, later on, you cannot remember where you put your watch, where you put your glasses, where you put your wallet, and so on. This is the reason why memory is also one of the meaning of sati. When you pay full attention to what you are doing, you can remember well. If you are not, if you do not pay full attention to what you are doing, you cannot remember. Then we cannot find, you cannot find the thing you want. Then we say, you are not mindful. Right? We always say that, she is not mindful, he is not mindful. Mean you do not pay full attention to what you are doing, therefore you are not mindful. So, please remember the meaning, full attention. Pay full attention is called mindfulness. And anchoring on. The mind does not distract it. The mind is anchored on what you are doing with full attention, and you are aware of what's happening. It's all under meaning of sati. And there's also another important aspect of sati is attitude. What is the attitude of sati? Mindfulness. That is without judgment. For example, and the anger arises in me. So I pay attention to my anger. I aware of my anger without judge that this anger is not good, this anger is bad. How come it arises in me? I am so shameful because of having the anger. I do not judge this anger in this way. If I judge it, then I lose. Sorry. So the attitude of sati is no bias, no like or dislike. For example, now I feel very happy. So I aware of my happiness, but I also like my happiness. The moment I feel liking of my happiness, then I lose happiness on happiness. So mindfulness means you just aware what is happening without personal preference, without bias, without judgment, say it's good or bad. Attitude, very important attitude of sati. And the function of sati, is not forgetful. In this world, many people are so forgetful. Why? Do you forgetful? Do you think you are forgetful? Why? Correct. Because not mindful. Not mindful. That's why I cannot remember. No mindfulness. And according to research from one Harvard University, when you are not mindful, your mind is not happy. According to research, why people are so unhappy? Because of distraction. When your mind is distracted, it means that your mind is not mindful. Your mind think here and there, recollecting the past, planning for future. So your mind is never living at the present moment. Never at now. Always fall into past or future, never in the present moment. Therefore, there's no happiness, according to the research in Harvard University across maybe 80 countries. So the function of mindfulness is not forgetful. So when you are mindful, you do not forget. And the manifestation, how does mindfulness appear in yogi's mind? Let's say when you are mindful of something, then the mind is protected. For example, I'm mindful of eating. So my mind is protected from greed to arise in me, right? So if I'm mindful of listening, like somebody abuse me, I'm mindful of listening, then I do not react. But if I'm not mindful, then we react almost immediately. So when you are mindful of listening, although the speech is very unpleasant, but because you are mindful, so you do not react. Therefore, your mind is protected. So the manifestation of mindfulness is protector of the mind. And another manifestation is it protects the object. The object will not lose from your observation. Because you are mindful, your mind is anchoring on. As I say, the one of the meaning of sati is anchoring on. So when your mind is anchoring on something, on the object of your observation, then your mind is also protected. And you do not lose your object of observation. Only then concentration built up. Only then wisdom develops. Okay, so this is the meaning of sati. Then the next word, upatthana. Upatthana, sati and upatthana. What is upatthana? There are two meanings. One is called establishment. So, join together satipatthana, establishment of mindfulness. Establishment of sati. Another meaning of upatthana is foundations, a basis. So, sati must build on what? Must base on what? Must stand on what? That's called foundation. So foundation of sati, foundation of mindfulness, and there are four. Bodily, kaya nupasana, satipatthana. Second, feeling, vedana, nupasana, satipatthana. Third, citta, nupasana, satipatthana. And the fourth, dhamma, nupasana, satipatthana. So these four are chattaro, satipatthana. These four are the foundations for a yogi to establish mindfulness. Otherwise, mindfulness stand on what? In order to establish mindfulness, you need something to stand on. So these are the body, feeling, mind, mental state, and dhamma. These are the four objects that helps you to establish firm mindfulness. And next, in order to be successful in one's practice, right, you will need some requirements. So in order for this satipatthana practices to be successful, all yogis, according to what Buddha's standard, all yogis need four things. You should have these four for your practice to be successful. What's the first one? What's the first one? Satipatthana for a long time, but you do not know what are the requirements for your practice to be successful. Number one, attapi. Attapi. Attapi is what? Attapi means ardent, tireless and strenuous effort. This is called attapi. Attapi also carry the meaning of fire. So when fire is burning, fire can burn away your refinement, right? So when it's fire, you feel hot. So when you have effort, your body is energetic. That heat element can burn away refinement. This is called attapi. Strenuous effort, tireless effort, or ardent, earnestness. This is called attapi. So, ancient monk, they used to go for pintachara, right? And they go for pintachara in a group, a line. maybe 10 person, one after another. So when they go for Pintachara, and they carry the meditation subject, we call Gochara Sampajanya. They carry the meditation subject, but mine is not easy to tame. So when they go halfway, let's say, then the evil thoughts may arise, lustful thoughts may arise, or unwholesome thoughts may arise. So at this time, you need what? You need fire. Atapi. You need fire to burn away the lustful thought, that sensual thoughts or ill will that arise in the mind. So what the monk do? The monk have to stand. Stand still. First they walk for Pindachara. Before reach destination, they discover. They say the first monk discover, oh, the essential thought arise in his mind, or there are ill will in his mind. So then he stop and contemplate, impermanent, ill will, impermanent, not myself, vanishing, and so on. So when first monk stand, then the remaining nine monks, right? Then, okay, when he overcome his ill will, then he continue to walk. After a few steps, another unwholesome thought arise again. Then he have to stand, deal with the unwholesome thought before he can proceed. And stand there, which will affect the nine monks follow behind. And the first monk will feel so shameful, right? Because when you stop, the remaining monk know you are affected by defilements. That's why you stand there to fight with your defilements. So after first time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, this first person will become very shameful of himself. So once he become very shameful, we call it hiri otapa, shame and fear. Once he become very shameful, then he arouses his energy to protect his meditation so that the evil thought enter into his mind. Only then the Pintachara can be complete. Otherwise, when can you complete the Pintachara if you always stop? This is called Atapi. The moment you realize defilement that arise in your mind, then stand still. Or if you are eating, if you realize the greed has arisen in your mind, then what should you do? Don't eat. Contemplate the greedy mind affected by greed, impermanent, when it goes, then you eat. Then second mouthful, another contemplate atapi, fire. Atapi, contemplate until it has passed away, then third mouthful arise again. It may take 1.5 hours to finish your meal. Okay. If you take only 10 minutes to finish your meal, you have no atapi. There's no one without greed while eating. Maybe you are not mindful. Some people eat so fast. The greedy person eat faster than other people. Okay? So these are called atapi. Whenever you find the defilement arise in you, you stop and fight with the defilement until you're successful. This is called atapi. The food they want. So the mind keep on linger on the food they want. And if this happens, then he cannot make progress because the mind is disturbed by his attachment to certain food. So we must put away that attachment, that hankering. Okay? And another one, some people may have constant worry, excessive worry to something. I remember when I was in United States, then during the retreat, one yogi reported to me, she said that, "Sister, I keep worrying about my cat in the house. What he eats, whether he happy or not, no one take care of him. The whole retreat," he said, "my mind is only worried about my cat." So for the pet lover, so when you come for retreat, you cannot let go your worry about your pet. Then you cannot make progress in your meditation. Sometimes we worry, have attachment to human beings, is already a big hindrance. But nowadays we add more one pet. So we have attachment to human, still not enough. Now to pets again. So how can one make progress if you have so much attachment to son and daughter, to parents, now even to pets? Therefore, Buddha say, put away, put aside. Okay, so these are the four requirements for success in your practice. What are the four? Number one, attapi. Number two, sampajana, clear comprehension. Number three, satima, mindfulness. Number four, put away greed and worry for something or someone. So today, you have to put away already. Put away your worry, your attachment to someone or something, and let the mind focus, anchor on your object. Only then you will be successful. Okay. Okay, so last thing, I want to give you some instruction how to practice mindfulness of the body. For mindfulness of breathing, because I do not accept beginners, so I assume all of you already know how to practice mindfulness of breathing. If no, the book I give you, guidance on a guide on meditation, inside, you can read it. So, apart from mindfulness of breathing, you have to practice mindfulness of the body movement. This is under sampajana. Okay. So, apart from formal sitting, when you get up, you have to be mindful when you want to walk out to the meditation hall. You have to be mindful of your step, because this is Satipatthana Sutta, not Anapanasati only. You have to learn many. You have to learn many different meditation subjects, not Anapanasati only. So when you get up from your meditation cushion for the first day, when you walk to the meditation hall, please be mindful of your step. Today only mindful of your step. Tomorrow morning I will teach you how to observe four elements while walking. But today, until tomorrow, you just mindful of your step. Put your attention on your feet, mindful of your step, and slow down. Not walk as usual. Otherwise, if you walk as usual, you soon lose your mindfulness. In order to gain mindfulness, you have to slow down a little bit. This is a requirement. Okay? So when you walk down, you reach the door you want to open, so you're mindful of your hand, stretching the hand, then opening, you push the door, push, not pack like that, okay? If you pack like that, no, I can see whether you're mindful or not. So you push, okay? Then go out wearing your slipper. This all listed in the Satipatthana Sutta. Buddha say, not I say. Okay? So wearing your slipper, you must mindful of wear your slipper, otherwise you wear the other people's slipper. You are not mindful. Okay? Then we walk down staircase, you need more mindfulness. So you walk one step down, left step, right step, left step, right step, aware of your step. All this to build up your mindfulness first before I can teach you further. You build out the mindfulness and go to your bathroom, opening the tap, mindful, stretching your hand, you mindful, stretching the hand, opening the tap, then the shower, water, fall on your body, you mindful, the shower fall on your body, mindful of it. Okay? Then you go urinating. Sit on a toilet bowl, also mindful of your urinating. This under Kaya Nupasana Satipatthana section, clear comprehension. You see, Buddha also teach so detailed. Even urinating also, you must be mindful. So you sit on the toilet bowl, you're mindful, you are sitting on a toilet bowl. When you are urinating, you are mindful that you are urinating. Okay? Then, when you're drinking, when you drink water, you stretch out your hand, take a glass of water, then you bring in the hand, you must mindful. Okay? Mindful of your movement. Then, when the glass touch your mouth, your lip, then you drink the water mindfully. You see the water go inside your body. Okay? Then while eating, eating also, you hand touch the spoon, you feel it. How your hand touch your spoon and fork, feel the sensation. Then you take the spoon and fork and put inside, take the food and put inside your mouth. All this movement has to be do slowly and mindfully from the first day. So from the first day, if you can cultivate this good habit, then you are successful. You will be progressing very fast. Therefore, I want to say in the first day, not after 5 days or after 4 days. So whatever action you do, either you're mindful of your hand or your leg or your sensation. When your body touch something, there's sensation. So mindful of your sensation, hot or cold, or tightness, and so on. Or if your hand move, just mindful of your movement, pushing, opening the door, opening the tap, and so on. And when you're walking, you just mindful on your step. Sometimes your step may be very heavy, sometimes light, sometimes pushing. You're mindful of your step. Okay. Taking shower also, bathing, also same. Eating, drinking, bathing, urinating, walking out of the hall, wearing your slipper and so on. All this action need to be done mindfully. This is our first lesson. First lesson you have to do before I can teach you further. If this one also you cannot do, then tomorrow they have more, become more complicated. A lot of new information for you to do. Okay? So in a sitting, you can start with Anapanasati. But when you get up from the meditation cushion, you let go of Anapanasati, but be mindful of your bodily movement. Until tomorrow, 2 p.m., before I give you new instruction how to practice more detail. Okay? Okay, that's all for today.